Hello again, friends. This is Pastor Evangelist Robert Venable inviting you to stay tuned to this edition of Let's Talk About Jesus right here on WMAF. If you're listening by computer, we welcome you today. If you're listening because you have downloaded this message from our homepage, our website, we're so glad that you have decided to get into the Word of God with us today. Amen. Every time I go to the Word of God, I get excited because of the potential that is here. If you don't know Jesus, there's a powerful message for you of God's great love, of what Jesus has done at the cross for you today in this message. And if you do know Jesus, there's a powerful incentive to serve Him, get close to Him, get ready for His coming. Pray like you've never prayed before. Praise God. We're going to be talking about something to give us that kind of incentive today, because our subject today is praying as a priest when prayer becomes a spiritual sacrifice. You don't want to miss this. I believe that we're going to see some things in the Word of God that's going to move us to prayer like we have never prayed. Someone said, when God wants to do something big, He sets His people a-praying. Well, I'm praying today to be set a-praying. Praise God, because I am convinced that we are in the midst of a last day harvest. And I believe Jesus Christ coming is very soon. I want to see my whole family saved, all of my children and grandchildren, and my great grandchildren are not to the age of accountability, the stage of accountability, but I'm already praying for them too. Praise the Lord. I'm a great grandpa, but God has been good to let me see my children's children's children. Praise God. Amen. Because the devil hasn't ceased to try to take me out, but God hasn't ceased to lift me up and sustain me. So I'm so glad. I told someone the other day, I'm getting that mini pearl attitude. After all I've been through, I'm just so proud to be here. Amen. God has let me see another day and let us gather around the Word of God again. And this is an exciting message, but it is also an imperative message to the Christian community. And if you don't know Jesus today, please stay tuned, because within this message concerning praying to God, amen, you could pray the greatest prayer that could ever be prayed in all of the Bible. And that's a prayer to receive Jesus Christ as your personal Savior as we repent of our sins. So please stay tuned and hear how much God loves you and what a provision God has made for you and for me. Would you do that today? Hallelujah. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to Revelation chapter 8, verses 3 and 4. Revelation chapter 8, verses 3 and 4. While you're turning, if anyone would like to visit our website, just type in THCOG. THCOG. That stands for the Holy Church of God. But THCOG is an abbreviated way. And Google it, good search engine. It will take you to our homepage right here in Tampa, Florida, where I pastored the Holy Church of God since 1974. 37 years, if my math is correct. And God has been good to us today. Many sermons there, many recent editions of Let's Talk About Jesus available for you to listen to online or download. It's entirely up to you. There are no strings attached. We are keeping the Great Commission to do our best to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature before Jesus returns. All right, let's listen to this and listen very carefully, because there's so much in these two verses of Scripture concerning prayer. Listen, another angel came and stood at the altar, having a golden censer. And there was given to him much incense, that he should offer it with the prayers of all saints. That's including you and me today, friend. Upon the golden altar which was before the throne. And the smoke of the incense which came with the prayers of the saints ascended up before God out of the angel's hand. One translator comments, "This passage pictures the prayers of the redeemed which are ascending to God. The smoke of incense indicates the finished work of Jesus Christ. The prayers of believers have added to them the finished work of the Savior." Praise the Lord. Let's talk about that finished work of the Savior and see how it becomes incense that is offered with our prayers to God. Ephesians 5 and verse 2 says, "Walk in love, as Christ also has loved us and hath given himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet smelling savor." See, what Jesus did on the cross was so satisfying to God, it was like sweet smelling incense. Every child of God should remember that God adds to their prayers the incense of the finished work of the Lord Jesus. Every sincere prayer prayed in faith enters into the presence of God, not on its own or our own merit, but on the basis of what Jesus did at the cross. You see, what causes Jesus to accept you and me is what causes God to listen to our prayers. It is the same thing. It is the finished work of Jesus. The Bible said in the New Testament, "Let us come boldly before the throne of grace to obtain grace and mercy to help us in the time of any need." You see, no one can come before God's throne. Not the best of the best of Christians. None of us can approach God or the throne of grace without the finished work of Jesus allowing it and permitted it. We're accepted in the Beloved. We're not accepted in and of ourselves, according to the book of Ephesians. It is the finished work of Jesus that allows God to accept us in spite of our shortcomings. You know, we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God, the Scripture declares. There is none righteous, no, not one. And the Bible said our attempt, our very best attempt at righteousness, falls so far short of God's requirement that our righteousness, our best presenting of ourselves and our good works, is as a filthy rag in His sight. Well, then, there is no way to approach God short of the one way that He hath provided, and that is what Jesus did for us as He took our place on the cross and shed His precious blood. Remember, the throne we come to and approach is called the throne of grace. In the Old Testament, it's known as the mercy seat. That when the blood sprinkled that mercy seat, God was able to not send judgment upon ancient Israel. Amen. Praise God. But in the New Covenant, it gets even greater, because not only can we come behind the veil and come into the presence of God, but God can now come from behind the veil and manifest His presence to us. Praise the Lord. Friend, prayer as incense is not just a New Testament concept. Listen to the psalmist in Psalm 141, verse 1 and 2. "Lord, I cry unto Thee, make haste unto me. Give ear unto my voice when I cry unto Thee. Let my prayer be set forth as incense, and the lifting up of my hands as the evening sacrifice." Incense was kept burning perpetually in that Old Testament economy, that Old Testament tabernacle. Exodus 30 and verse 1 says, "And thou shalt make an altar to burn incense upon, of shittim wood, and thou shalt make it." Verse 6 through 8 says, "And thou shalt put it before the veil that is by the ark of the testimony, before the mercy seat that is over the testimony, where I will meet with Thee." Amen. "And Aaron shall burn thereon sweet incense every morning. And when Aaron lighteth the lamps at even, he shall burn incense upon it." A perpetual incense before the Lord throughout your generations. What a pattern for prayer. David said, early will I seek thee. And every morning when Aaron arose, he was to light the incense. And before he turned in at night, he was to burn it again and freshen it, that it burn all night and all day. Praise the Lord. The altar of incense was one of only three pieces of furniture in the holy place. The golden lampstand and the table of showbread were the other two. It was placed before the veil that separated the holy place from the most holy. The fragrance permeated the outer place and entered within the veil, filling the most holy place with sweet smelling savor. Praise God. I like that because it is symbolic of the person praying and the result that it's having upon God Himself. There's an effect upon us when we pray as well. Amen. There's no way I can understand what happens when I'm praying, the priestly aspect of it. Amen. It reminds me that I'm in the world, but I'm not of the world. That I have been sanctified, set apart unto God for a holy purpose. And part of that holy purpose is making intercessions before Him for my loved ones, for the my community, for my world, for my nation, for everyone that I know and people that I don't even know. I'm even to pray the heart of God and pray for the peace of Jerusalem. I'm to give Him no rest, the Bible said. Amen. To keep incense burning perpetually corresponds to the New Testament where it says to pray without ceasing. Even though I'm not mouthing those words in my heart, I am in communion with God every waking moment. Praise the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. God is calling us to a life of prayer, where prayer is perpetual. And we are reminded through that, that we are set apart unto Him for a holy purpose. And we know that our prayers are going behind the veil before that holy throne. And He is enjoying our praying, not just enduring our whining. Praise God. Amen. I used to do a lot of whining, but I'm doing better. I can't say I don't ever whine and complain, but my prayers are filled with worship and gratitude for the privilege of coming before that great throne of God, that mercy seat, that throne of grace sprinkled by the blood of Jesus, so that I can approach a holy God and that He will actually listen, hallelujah, when we pray. Stephen Olford, in his book Camping with God, put it this way. I want to quote from that book. It's a very powerful book and powerful statement. It said, "So the altar of incense identifies us with our great advocate, who waits to receive our expressions of adoration and intercessions and present them faultless to His Father in heaven. It only remains to add that before the altar of incense could have any acceptance before God, it had to be sprinkled with the blood of the atonement." In other words, the finished work in the New Testament of Christ had to be added to our prayers. For the same blood that makes us accepted by God is the same blood that causes our prayer to be heard so it can be answered. Exodus 30 and verse 10 said, "And Aaron shall make an atonement upon the horns of it," speaking of the altar, "once a year with the blood of the sin offering." So we see very clearly that our great high priest advocates for us. And our approach in prayer is on the basis of grace. See, the altar of incense stood immediately before the mercy seat, which is the throne of God represented here upon the earth. How we need to understand that not only can we go to God, amen, that our prayer can go behind the veil, but that God can come from behind the veil and come to us. He says, "I will meet with you there." Verse 6, "Where I will meet with thee." In the blessing of the new covenant, there's not even a veil of separation anymore. prayer is received and preserved before the throne of God perpetually in His presence. Revelation 5 and verse 8, what a beautiful picture of prayer is here. And what happens after we pray? Amen. It said, and when He had taken the book, the four beasts and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, having every one of them harps and golden vials full of odors, literally interpreted incense, which are the prayers of the saints. Amazing. Golden vials full of odors, which are the prayers of the saints, full of incense, preserved in the presence of God. Hallelujah. Most of us view prayer not as a priestly privilege, but as a religious responsibility. We are often timid, tired, and tentative until a crisis drives us to God. God wants to change that through this very teaching today. This realization and revelation of what really takes place when we pray. Boldness and consistency in prayer begins with the revelation and realization that we have been made priest unto God. This is a priestly privilege. This is an intimate fellowship. This is an awesome honor. It is not just a religious responsibility. 1 Peter 2 and verse 5 said, ye also, as lively stones, are built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable unto God by Jesus Christ. Verse 9 goes on to say, you're a chosen generation and a royal priesthood. Hallelujah. Amen. We can actually, every one of us, amen. I'm still trying to get a handle on the fact that all of us are considered saints. God has cleansed us to that degree, and the blood of Jesus has interceded for us and brought us into a positional righteousness before God that we, with our flaws, have been called, all of us, the saints of God. Hallelujah. Amen. And now we're being challenged again to understand that God has made us a kingdom, a priest before the Lord. Amen. We are made priests by the blood of Jesus Christ. Revelation 1 verse 5 and 6 says, unto Him that loved us and washed us from our sins in His own blood, and hath made us kings and priests unto God and His Father, or literally a kingdom of priests. The basis of all spiritual authority is that the believer is a royal blue blood. Hallelujah. He's a child of the King. He's a partaker of the divine nature. He is a believer priest with certain throne rights. He has access to God, to the very throne of God, through prayer. The child of God doesn't have to sheepishly approach God as a beggar would. He may confidently enter into the presence of God as a child of the King. Yes, there's a protocol. Yes, we humble ourselves. We come reverently. We stand in awe of Him. But we come boldly in the sense that we know that a way has been made through the blood of Jesus that we might come before the very throne of God itself, and that God accepts us in His Son and listens when we come to pray and talk with Him. Praise the Lord. His prayer is entering the holiest by the blood of Jesus. Priestly prayer is understanding one's position and one's possession in Jesus Christ. Praying as a priest changes the whole attitude and atmosphere in prayer. It lets us understand that when we pray for our nation, God listens intently. David put it this way before we even had the kind of privilege we have in the New Covenant. But even in the Old Covenant, David said, I love the Lord because He hears my prayer. I love the Lord because He hears my voice. I love the Lord because He hears my cry, turning His ear always to me. You know, literally translated, it says He bends down and listens when I pray. God takes note of it. God cares. God has made a way for us to intercede. God has made a way for us to come and present our petitions before Him. God has made a way for us to cry unto Him and made a way so that He can legitimately listen as a holy God and without violating His holiness, accept us in Christ and respond to us in love and power, in grace. Hallelujah. What a wonderful privilege it is to know that when we pray, spiritual things begin to transpire. Incense, the finished work of Jesus, is added to our prayer. Amen. And our prayers are preserved in golden vials, according to the Scripture, in the very presence of God. You've been praying for loved ones and you've saw no answer. Amen. And I want you to know that every prayer you ever prayed was heard. God chooses the timing. God chooses the way to answer. God will not violate the human will, but God will hem people in. I'll tell you that. Amen. God will move circumstantially in people's life that we are praying for. Never give up. Never give in. Never get discouraged. It's a scripture in the New Testament that said a parable. Jesus spoke a parable to them to this end, that men ought always to pray and never to faint. Prayer is what keeps us hopeful when everything looks so discouraging around us. And God's incentive to keep on praying, to offer that incense perpetually before the Lord, amen, is that we are a kingdom of praying priests with priestly privileges to come before the throne of God Almighty and make intercessions and petitions unto Him. And we worship in that approach, and we get into a fellowship relationship, amen, because we're able to come into the presence of God, and in His presence there's fullness of joy. Just being there with Him before we even consider the answer is a privilege, an honor, and a joy. That incense covered the holy place and went up in behind the veil. Both God and the one offering the incense was affected by it. Praise the Lord. Somebody that prays all the time is going to be a person who enjoys rich fellowship with the Father. Prayer is talking to God, and talking to God, amen, is a fellowship relationship of intimacy with God. And in that intimacy with God is a walk with God, amen. We're reminded day and night that we are a holy people. We are a royal priesthood, a chosen generation, that we might show forth the virtues of Him and not follow the trends of the world, the morals of the world, the values of the world. We have a standing with God as royal priests. Praise God. Kings and priests is a lot different than just poor old sin-bound people down in this world with no victory and no resources. No, we have victory in Jesus, and we have heavenly resources through what He has done for us at Calvary. If you're listening to this broadcast today and you know that you don't know Jesus, amen, I want you to know that your life can change today. You can repent of your sin. You can receive Jesus Christ as your Savior. And from that moment, while God is still working on all your rough edges, hallelujah, from that very moment, He will make you a priestly king who is able to come before His presence and begin to pray. And when God begins to answer your prayer and you begin to seek God, amen, respond to you, and you know that you have a God to lean on, a God to call on, that for all of your weaknesses and inabilities, God is going to step in and help shore you up. Amen. For all of your enemies and adversities, God is going to be a shield for you and defend you. That you can actually begin to pray for your loved ones and your friends to find Christ as their personal Savior. And God is going to honor that intercession because you have the right and privilege from the day you receive Jesus to become an intercessor for others. Praise God. I'm telling you, this is not a boring, humdrum, religious box type of life. This is an adventure. And when prayers begin to be answered, you know, Jesus talked about answered prayer in John 15, and he said, I've spoken these things unto you, that my joy might be in you, so that your joy might be full. And part of that great body of truth about the vine and branches that he was talking about, amen, he said, if you abide in me, and my word abides in you, you can ask what you will, and it will be given you. Amen. That's not a blank check for us to do our thing. That's God's endorsement of His will that we are acquiescing to and bowing to, because His Word that reveals His will is abiding in us, and we are abiding in Him, in His Lordship, the Spirit's leadership. And I'm telling you, we pray according to the will of God. Well, let me just quote a scripture. The Bible said, "In this is the confidence that we have in Him. If we ask anything according to His will," see, we have the priestly power, the priestly privilege. So all we need to do is discover and line up our prayers with the revealed will of God. Amen. If we ask anything according to His will, we know that He hears us. And if we know that He hears us, we know that we have the petitions that we have desired of Him. Oh, I love the way that God talks. He never minces words. He speaks clearly, concisely, absolutely, full of the authority of His own integrity and power. You know, the Bible said He watches over His word to perform it. Praise God. He's a stickler about being true to His own statements, His own promises, His own precepts, His own word, because He's faithful to His own person of holiness. Praise God. Amen. I want to encourage you today to begin to pray. If you're a Christian like you have never prayed, I want to encourage you today, if you are not a Christian, to pray the greatest prayer that will qualify you to be saved, for every sin to be forgiven, to be accepted in Jesus Christ. And the moment you are accepted in Jesus, your prayer will be accepted and heard on high. For the same blood that will sanctify and cleanse you will qualify you to come behind the veil, approach the throne of God, the throne of grace, the mercy seat, and talk with Him. Praise the Lord. Make your requests known unto Him and have sweet fellowship with Him in the process. Friend, I hate to quote that old commercial, but it don't get any better than this. Praise the Lord. While we're here to have God, access to God, and to give God access to us. Praise the Lord. And let prayer be that cohesive part of our life that symbolizes and seals our fellowship relationship with Him. If I can go behind the veil and talk with Him mouth to mouth, the blood of Jesus has been applied to my life and given me a standing, amen, like I could never, ever hope for or imagine in my wildest dreams. But behold, it is finished. It's been accomplished at the cross. Praise the Lord. Today, I want to invite you to come to know Jesus as your Savior. Would you open your heart right now? Would you say, Jesus Christ, I need you. I'm desperate for you today. I can't go on living apart from you. I need a God who will hear me and answer me. But above all, I need a God who will love me and accept me. And I'm coming today to repent of my sins and pray, Jesus, come into my heart. Come into my life. Forgive my sin. Be my Savior. Hallelujah. And if you're a Christian today, I urge you to pray like you've never prayed, to intercede like you've never interceded. Amen. Let's plunder hell and populate heaven. Amen. Pray for us. Would you do that as we pray for you? Pray for this broadcast, that God will send it where He would have it go, in the name of Jesus. Well, our time is gone. Would you please come back next week and let's talk about Jesus.